Welcome to ESN. I'm the host today, Alex Nelson.
I am Josiah Onalis.
And we are sitting down with the athletic director, Mr. Brendan Netherton, today.
What's up, world? Yes, we're here. It's the first one.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Eagle Sport good today. We're feeling Network.
Good, yes, good morning. Weather's not that good, though, but it's still good.
Sir.
We're here. So what's up, guys? This is it. This is kind of nerve-wracking in a sense, right?
Yeah.
You have a microphone in your face. It's the first podcast.
First podcast of many.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and we're going to kick it off that way. And I appreciate you guys having me here.
Yes, sir, of course.
And answer some questions and start a trend and something new. I don't know how many high schools have a podcast, but if any. But
yes, sir. I think we might be the first one.
And to all the listeners right now listening today, I hope you guys are having a good one. Hope you guys are feeling good today.
Sir. So what are some goals you see at Pine Creek, especially for the athletics and for the student body?
You know, it's so funny when we make goals, and typically you make goals before a year starts, right? And you sit down and you go, hey, I got this goal coming in. But honestly, anytime you come in somewhere new, and this is just my opinion, I always just watch first. Because I don't know. Like, so when you go in interviews and they go, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do to change, you know, or evolve or make something go further? The honest truth is you don't know until you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I had certain goals and you have a 90-day plan, and it's just, you know, and you look at it and you go, this is what I'm doing. Really, one of my goals was just to watch and observe and just see, you know, what makes Pine Creek tick. Because outside of these walls, you always get that, like, you hear about it. You hear championship character. You hear championship in athletics, or you hear championship in performing arts, or you hear these things. But until you're a part of it, you have no idea what really goes in on it. So I think goal-wise, right now, my halfway point, you know, after 90 days, what I really noticed was the lack of, like, a first-class feel. And I don't mean to be rude, but just – when you walk in this building, you hear outside of it, you think, man, these kids must have everything.
Yep, exactly.
Right? They must have everything. And then you find out, well, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you come in the weight room, or if it's like the hallway right now, that just kind of, you walk in and it's like the Taj Mahal of, you know, of athletics as far as like perception. Like, you'll go into, like, you know, Grandview, and they have this beautiful opening and like their trophies everywhere, and you know what they're about. Here, it's so special in a sense that you know what these kids are about because you guys just perform so well.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not this, like, oh, look at this facility. So I think one of my big goals right now is really, how do we make a first-class feel? Mm-hmm. How do I make sure when kids walk to that door, they go, oh, we're at Pine Creek? Or other kids from different schools go, oh, wow. Or parents, you know, because I think when you make the area look nice, or you're bragging about your students here, that needs to be seen. And I don't think we really do a good job of that yet.
Yeah.
And so that's one of my major goals, is really facilities and how are we upgrading those, and what does that fundraising look like?
Exactly.
I think the other goal is always to develop coaches that you would have your own child play for. Because there's a trust thing there, right?
Yes, sir.
You know,
definitely is.
You know, as a parent, you think to yourself, I have to trust who I send my child to.
Mm-hmm.
And as a parent myself, or even as an athletic director, I have to trust these coaches because I'm not always around.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not at practices every practice. I try to be around. And that kind of goes to my third goal, is be visible.
Yeah.
And maybe that was a goal coming in, is just really being visible and watching and being around. And hopefully the student body really sees me around, and parents see me around, and how am I promoting them? And so that kind of goes into what you're doing now with, like, the podcast thing and social media. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have a really big presence there either. Now that I'm going with social media a little heavier, you know, you guys are starting a podcast. Those are all important things. Like, how are we thinking forward and ahead of people and getting that set now? So when we, you know, later on, you know, you guys are in show like 100 at some point.
Amen.
And, you know, people know who Pine Creek is outside of these walls, even in other states. Like, how do we get that? Why can't we think on that level?
Yeah.
So I think for students, the short and sweet is empowering you all to thrive. You know, how do we put people in your lives that empower you to thrive? How do we put facilities in your life to get you, and not even just athletic facility, but just, you know, schools. Like, you know, like right now you have a podcast room, and I think we're in a, I don't know how big this room is.
Yeah.
But if people could look at it, it'd be, it's more of a, what is it? It's like a 3x8.
Yeah, you know, like 3x8.
You know, and so, you know, thinking forward that way is like, how do we get you all in an area that you guys feel that you can thrive in as well? Exactly. And that's part of the facility piece.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just really empowering you all to thrive. And how do we do that? And thinking of ways, but it's really partnering with you, because adults, in my mind, can really mess it up, because sometimes we forget what it's like to be in your all's seat.
Yeah.
But we also don't, we have to listen to you too, you know, and that's important. So.
Exactly.
Being honest, I felt how you were talking about when it comes to coaches and parents, like they want to be able to feel comfortable leaving their children with the coaches. I felt that because, like, when it comes to sending your kids to sports,
mm-hmm.
like, you don't want them to just be with strangers. You don't want to just be like a random man just taking control. You want it to be like a family situation of like, it's not more of like a stranger. It's more like a, maybe like another figure, you yeah. know, like another, maybe like parent figure, just someone to look up to, not more like just a stranger, you know?
So yeah, it's extension of your family, right? It's trust.
For example, I'd say Coach Miller. I've been playing football for the past 4 years. I'm a mm-hmm. senior now. And honestly, he's one of the guys who's put me under his belt, you know, with FCA and stuff going up, stuff going just like outside of football, you know what I'm saying? And I'd say he's a great example of a coach who you want to be coached by.
Yeah, it's a creating relationship, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Trusting relationship.
And also, I am a junior and I wrestle. Mm-hmm. And for instance, like my coach is like Coach Gable and Coach Eli, all of them. They always are so inspiring, and mm-hmm. they really feel, you really feel comfortable near them.
Yeah.
Like they're literally like another like parent figure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can say for both of those situations, like, would I trust my child with them? Yeah. You know, you would send them to them because they're getting more than just a sport. Like, I think the idea of like athletics is always like, oh, they're playing a game. And mm-hmm. yes, I see that. Yeah. I like to compete. I love competitors. I want you all to compete on a different level. But also, what are we getting outside of that sport?
Mm-hmm.
All they're doing is using a sport as a tool to grow you as young adults.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's the goal. And same with, you know, in our women's sports. I mean, you look at our women's sports right now, and I think they always have a I don't think they're promoted as much. And that's something we want to change now, too, when we think forward. How do we make sure that our kids are not just, you know, playing, but how are we at each other's events?
Exactly.
Like, how do we change that, right?
Yeah.
And for our women's sports, people might not know this, but if you look at our girl swim team, mm-hmm. how many people you think would know that they're ranked like second in the state right now?
Not much.
Right? Number two in the state in swim. You look at our youth and girls basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the Stewart sisters, or, you know, you have Burke Perryman, you know, the point guard, and you have these role players that are out there. They're really young, right? Mm-hmm. But you go to their events, and it's like, man, they're good.
Exactly.
But how do we pack that side of things, too? And that's one of the goals when we go back. Like, what are we doing inside of our own school to make sure that environment is created, you know?
Yeah.
I think what you guys said is, you know, we have a lot of coaches – that operate on a level that's beyond their sport. And what I mean by that is they really, really have an investment in people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So for the next question, so what are some projects coming up mm-hmm. for the facilities at Pine Creek? So some advancements, some just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, and projects unfortunately cost so much money right now. You know, one push we're trying to do, and the district has kind of taken care of this, is obviously we have the natatorium, or AKA the pool,
mm-hmm.
coming in, and that's going to break ground March 7th-ish.
Okay.
Okay, they're going to break ground with that. I think it's a great opportunity for our swim team to have their own, you know, facility. But it also opens up a little bit with, like, PE classes possibly, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe some more advanced swim things that happen. So that's going to kind of break ground then. It's going to be 8 lanes. You know, really nice, you know, have their own little, not team room, but they'll have their locker rooms and, you know, inside there. it's going to bring a different aspect to us, because as we're growing to be like a 5A school, obviously participation is going up, you know, and this building's not getting any bigger. Yeah. So it helps out with, like, you know, a little pressure there. The other thing is happening, you know, we have this kind of like mini stadium, I call it. Mm-hmm. It's not a full stadium that's going out there. It's more probably for soccer, lacrosse, and it's just adding to what we have right now. So they'll probably add about 700 to 800 seats out there, okay. Stadium seating. And then they'll have a team room out there, for game day, yeah. Type of thing, which they're adding in the district. You know, that was in the bond. And that's kind of pretty much like sums up the bond situation. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of questions around that, with just like, with budget cuts and just prices of material.
Yeah.
You can't get the full aspect of a stadium out there, like Liberty's or the district stadium.
Yeah.
It's not going to look like that, but it's going to, really take care of some things that I think will help in the future with soccer, mm-hmm. you know, with those programs. They like to play here.
Yeah.
And then I think one of the ones that we're working on right now, and I mentioned it earlier, is really the weight room. Mm-hmm. And when you look at our weight room, it's not, I'm joking, but it's not much bigger than what the room we're in now.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, we're a 5A school, and you think, like, they want us to compete at this 5A level. Well, go to another 5A school and look at their weight room,
mm-hmm.
right? Look at it.
Yeah.
And then you ask yourself, well, wow, how did that happen, right? Well, money, like, you have to have some type of financial backing to that. And so my goal is on the 26th, actually tomorrow, I'm gonna meet with the parents of our athletic teams, and hopefully people come. I don't know. You know, I put it out there, and I'm gonna try to fundraise it. You know, I'm gonna put the word out and just go, hey, I have some bids right now to kind of reconstruct that, and my goal is to raise you know $150,000 to really upgrade that area, to open it up and give our kids a first-class feel, especially our athletes when they walk through there, because, you know, you guys perform such at a high level. It's kind of amazing. We got like a 2A, nothing against 2A programs, but yeah. You kind of have like this old 19, or I would say like 2000. I don't know when the last time it was updated, but it wasn't built to have 120 football players in there, or 120 track, you know, kids in there, or I don't know if it was built to have more than 30 kids in there at a time. It's unsafe, right? And so for me, it's like, you know, when I walk in there, I'm like, oh, someone's going to step on somebody, or some weight's going to go somewhere. And so I always think of safety first. And
I'm being honest, when I do walk through the weight room, I do realize how there's so little space. Like, I saw the whole football team in there, and they're just so, like, bunched together. Like, you would think that it's like one of them might get hit by, like, a dumbbell or something, like, in the head or something. Like, it's so small.
And speaking on that, what advancements do you see with the weight room that could possibly advance it more?
Yeah. One thing is the layout. Mm-hmm. Right now, if you notice, like, the racks are in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
And so we want to really open that up, that middle part.
Yeah.
So we'll just gut it, put new flooring in, but then have the racks actually attach half racks to the walls, and then you can get 5 and 5 on the outside walls.
Yeah.
And then you really open up the middle part to do more of the, you know, the plyos, mm-hmm. or the Olympic lifting or whatever we're doing. And it just opens your space up. And it's really, when it comes down to it, safety, you know. And I know when I want it to look pretty and people to feel like they have, you know, something to look forward to and be in. But it's safety.
Yeah.
For you all, and all our teams are growing. You look at wrestling right now. Like, I don't know how many people you have on a wrestling team,
honestly,
but I know Coach Gable loves
the
lift.
I've been here for 3 years, and this is the biggest the wrestling team has been.
Yeah.
It's getting really, it's increasing every year.
Yeah, and our volleyball team, I mean, you look at that, like, if they want to lift, or, like, even lacrosse, all these teams are just, we're everybody's moving this way.
Yep.
And our team's numbers are going up, but our facilities are staying the same size as when they first built it. And I think when they first built it, you know, you're looking, hey, we're not going to surpass, you know, 1,500 kids maybe. Well, now you got a chance to go, well, you add 300 kids at 1,800. Mm-hmm. And you really got to cap it there, because we don't have facilities to kind of, you know. So now it's just rethinking the space.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
Also, are you guys thinking of getting another cable machine? Because I remember, like, 2 years ago, there was a cable machine, and it was broken, and it's just gone.
Wrestlers, man, they like those pretty muscles. They're so, you know, if anybody, you know, it's so funny. They're probably the fittest people you know, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like machinery, you know, that's the other thing is what do we put in there that's functional and you know, that we can add on and have some open space to put those machines. So yes is the question. I mean, if I get the Taj Mahal weight rooms, you know, you have a Greeley West. I think they're putting one in for like $250,000. But they also are building a new school, I believe, you know. And so you look at Fountain Fort Carson. They got, you know, unlimited funds, it seems like, and they're doing it right. I mean, as an athletic director, your dream is to have the top-notch facilities, because then when people come in your door, and let's just say for what it is, you have open enrollment. You know, when people come in this door and they're saying, hey, where do we want to be? And we talked to this about with our, you know, our custodian crew, is how our building looks matters, you know, and how when people walk into a clean room opposed to a, you know, a dirty room or, you know, not functional room, they look at those things, you know, and that's why when you look at, you know, when you go to college, you know, if you ask, you know, Kramer and you say, hey, man, what why NAU?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He'll tell you, look at their facilities. 100%, right? You go to wrestling. Wrestling's a little different. You know, they like it kind of dim and just grimy, and they grind, man. That's just our wrestling team, right? Yeah. But they also like to have a facility to do it in.
Yep.
You know, so, yeah. I mean, to your question, we want all that stuff.
Right. We want to be able to show it off.
Yeah. We want to show you off. Yeah. You know, we want to show, like, why Pine Creek? When people, you know, decide of what, and this is how it is, when they decide a high school, the one thing they look at is facilities. Mm-hmm. Same with coaching. Like, so when I hire coaches, a lot of times, like, they'll go, well, what do we have so I can be successful? Mm-hmm. Facilities, you're going to look at that, right? Yep. So.
So some sports at PC are classified in the 4A category and some are in the 5A. What makes the distinction between these two?
Yeah, it's number of kids typically and how good you are. I hate to say it, like, for us, it's hard for us to argue when you have 1,800 kids coming up and you are very successful in sports, baseball, volleyball. I mean, you look at, like I said, girls basketball, wait until, give it a year. Yeah. I mean, even this year they were until, you know, Brooklyn got hurt, you know, wrestling. You guys compete with anybody here. And that's the cool thing about Pine Creek, and what sells it is I can tell people, we're, look at the numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, men lie, women lie. Numbers don't lie.
Numbers don't lie.
Right? Like, they just don't. How we compete, they don't. And so 4A, 5A, we're going to be 5A. You know, if there's a 6A, you know, I'm sure we'd end up in there at some point. But it really is about population of student, how many we have. There's cutoffs for each level that they go over, but also how well you do. They look at that. They look at demographic. They look at, you know, you argue. I can go in front of a board of CHASA and go, you know, this is why I think we should be 4A, because this team is not performing. Mm-hmm. And if we don't perform very well, this is what could happen. And you all know, if you don't perform really, really well, I mean, look at some of the other schools that are struggling in athletics, and you'll see also programs die. Yep. They won't be around anymore. And you're trying to save that from us. For us, we have too many participants. We have too many great athletes right now, at least down here, compared to Colorado Springs. Like, I mean, the argument is always like, well, Denver has, you know, Cherry Creek has, you know, 3,400 kids, 3,600 kids. That's a lot of kids, you know. But that's not their fault. I mean, that's where people go, you know. And how do we now? And
speaking about the facilities, too, they probably have a top-tier facility, so that's why
they take care of
racking kids, so.
Yeah, like, think about it. Like, look at, they take care of it.
Yeah.
Right? They put money into their facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And no fault to them. Kudos to them.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. If anything, like, we got to look at it and go, well, and if you're a great educator, you always steal things. You're like a thief a little bit. Yeah. You go, well, what is that person doing? Mm-hmm. And I want to take that, right? They care about that. Now, I'm not saying we don't. I'm just saying when you look at funding,
yeah,
in those areas, man, like, there's a lot of funding that goes through. A lot of people pass bonds to have that done, you know?
Yeah.
So, and with per kid, you get more money, too, per school, right? So, like, they'll look at that. They'll go, well, how many kids you have? Well, this is how much money I'm going to give you for, you know, this. But, yeah, I mean, I think the levels that we're going to play, we're going to compete at. Mm-hmm. And then I think as coaches, we're going to look at schedule, too, and go, well, where can we compete and be successful, you know?
So do you have any hobbies outside of work?
Yeah, you know, I guess being a parent's a hobby, right? I have three kids and, you know, my wife, and a lot of times my hobbies become their hobbies. Mm-hmm. You know, what are they interested in? How do I be, you know, their biggest fan? And so just kind of how you guys see me around here sometimes, excited for you all. It doesn't change. I go home and I'm the same way with my kids. So their hobbies are really mine. If it's dance, you know, with my littles, Quinn, and, you know, Nolan right now is in, you know, he's very smart, but he's into like building. So I sit there in Legos. And so those are hobbies sometimes of mine. Mm-hmm. And then for my oldest, you know, Melody, she's a soccer player and mm-hmm. she's, well, I say that, but you know, that's my hobbies, you know, and they are. And, you know, my wife, I think, you know, the one thing that I always appreciative is how she supports me. But, you know, my hobby is making sure she's, you know, supported and feels valued at home. And so, but lifting, you know, I like to lift outside of that. And it kind of just takes the edge off sometimes of just, you know, if you're stressed or whatever. Yeah. I always have this like outside thing that I have to do. So I think I go in my basement and that's my think time while I'm lifting and just to get away a little bit.
Yeah, man. So, why did you choose the profession of AD and why Pine Creek?
Yeah, great questions. I think being an AD, I don't know if I chose that right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole saying it chooses you sometimes, and it's a situational. You know, I never really wanted to be an AD. I wanted to coach and I wanted to teach, man. I really did. I didn't think that I'd ever be here yet. I always thought, like, hey, last 3 years of my career, maybe I'll be an AD or something. Mm-hmm. But what happened was, you know, I was coaching football and then educationally I was teaching and I had this I don't know what it was, like a presentation I had to do on restorative practices, mm-hmm. you know, in education. And what I did was I gave this presentation of just the correlation to students that are in sports in behavioral mm-hmm. and academic, you know, and everybody knows the data, like it's not something like a secret, but I was given a restorative approach. Instead of suspending students, I'd put them in an athletic, or I'd say, hey, here's your alternative thing you'd have to do. And they would sign off on a sport. Mm-hmm. And they would say, okay, hey, parents, I don't want to suspend them. I want them here. Because typically what I found was people that were suspending were kids that weren't at school anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what, are they not going to be at school again?
Exactly.
Right. So I was like,
you're giving them what they want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, no. I was like, no. I was like, what we're going to do is we're going to actually put them in a sport. And we're going to see what it trends, like what happens. Let's get them with somebody, like you guys said, a coach that they're going to build a relationship with mm-hmm. and have some pull with them and see what happens.
So
yeah, and so what happened was I was giving that presentation showing the data and somebody up north was kind of like watching it. And, you know, they're like, hey, have you ever thought about being like a dean, you know, and running like a program like that? And I never thought of that. And I was like, no, not really. You know, I just want to coach and whatever. And then my wife's like, hey, you know, I got a job in Denver, and I was like, maybe I'll throw my name in. So I threw my name in some things. I became a dean and athletic director at a middle school.
Okay.
And I really, really just, like, got the bug to, like, use that process of just putting kids into sports and activities instead of suspending them and see if they can get that relationship built of trust, and then they want to be there, mm-hmm. and they had something to work towards. And we started cutting, like, suspension rates by like something astronomical. I think it was like 60%.
Okay.
At the school I went to in Aurora. And the kids were like enjoying it, and our team started getting good. And by numbers, as you all know, like you start finding athletes and you just like the numbers game is always a thing in sports. So, and we started getting good athletics. And then all of a sudden I became like the high school athletic director and assistant principal. And I think that's kind of like the journey of it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, honestly, it wasn't like something I was like right away, oh, this is what I do, you know, because I think coaching has the biggest impact on people's lives.
So what sport were you coaching?
Yeah, football and track. Yeah. So I was actually down at Harrison, you know, okay. and shout out to Al Mello. I mean, he's the AD there now, but, you know, I was there and then I actually coached football again before I came here to Pine mm-hmm. Creek that spring season because that whole COVID thing.
Yeah.
Well, Gateway High School where I was at. Up in Aurora, we, you know, our coach walked 2 weeks before the season started. He just got tired of the COVID stuff and just up and downs. And, you know, there's a lot of mental health stuff going on. I'm not saying he did, but just there's some things going on that people are just like, I can't do this anymore.
Exactly.
So he walked 2 weeks for a season. And so I had to coach football that spring. And we actually took Gateway to the spring state championship.
Okay.
And it was the first time they ever went in school history.
Wow.
So those kids really performed. It wasn't because I was coaching. It was really because they were just, you get to a point where there's a turning point, I think, and get, you know, a season where they just believe.
So do you think your presence was influenced on them winning that state?
You know, they would have to answer that. You know, me, I went out there and I had a lot of, I mean, I always build relationships. You guys know me. I mean, I walk around and that's what I like doing. Mm-hmm. I think what happened was we got a group of coaches that knew how to build relationships of trust, and those kids just bought into them, you know, and for me, it was more of a, I didn't know we were going to do that. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think those kids just took it to another level because kids win games. I mean, you guys win the games. We just, either you buy into us and you run through a wall, you won't.
Yep.
And I think those kids would run through a wall for those, you know, that staff mm-hmm. that formulated it. And it just happened. It was like magical. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I didn't like the second place trophy. You know, people put it on my desk like, Brendan, this is a big thing. Like, we've never seen one of these here. And I'm like, I get it off.
Yeah.
I hate it losing. I was like, get it off. And I still sick to my stomach because we lost by a 2-point conversion.
Oh, no.
Right. So, and it was a team that, like, when you read the articles, like, we weren't even in the top, like, 5 or 6 conversation. Mm-hmm. It was like other teams. And then all of a sudden we snuck in there somehow. And, you know, they were like, whoa, wait a minute. And we were up.
Yeah.
And Eric Covington, he's at CSU now. He was our quarterback, but I put him at safety for mm-hmm. just the playoffs because I said, you know what? They need to see your athletic ability because he didn't have any offers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put him at safety, and you know, I know I'm going a different direction here, but you know, we put him at safety, and he ends up just falling mm-hmm. and like try to catch himself after deflecting a ball, and he hurts his AC joint.
Oof.
Right? So he like his arm. I thought he broke his collarbone at first.
Yeah.
Well, when you're quarterback and your safety that's coming downhill of stopping what they ran, like a Columbine I option type thing,
yeah,
and shutting it down, and we're actually like at halftime up at like 20-7, mm-hmm. right? And I'm like, oh, we just got to hold on. And we didn't want to say nothing, so Eric's going out there like almost in tears, trying to like just hold his arm up.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to come out, but he didn't want to, I couldn't at safety, and we just, you know, the leaves fall off in health, as you guys know, mm-hmm. it matters in sports. If you're not healthy around that time, typically the team that's healthy and consistent wins, no matter how good you are, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes a better team doesn't win. But anyways, I mean, that's kind of, I think for that season, they really just, they bought into each other. It's a locker room thing, you know, like you care about each other and you want it. And that's kind of what happened there. And then as far as Pine Creek, you know, honestly, you know, I'm a Mitchell grad. You know, back when Mitchell High School actually was, honestly, kind of like Pine Creek, believe it or not. It was like the athletic, if you look at stories, and I think I might be one of your yearbooks here mm-hmm. when Pine Creek played us. But we were like the dominating top team in the Springs, us and Rampart back then. And I actually played against all your coaches. Believe
really?
It or not. Yeah, they didn't tell you that story. That's like another story if you guys want to go into it later. But, yeah, I played against them. And you know, I think what brought me here was, you know, Colorado Springs has always been home.
Mm-hmm.
And now that me and my wife are having kids and stuff. And I always said to myself, like, I've always, you know, been an AD or an educator in more of a Title I setting. And, you know, I always wanted to stretch my growth too.
Mm-hmm.
And when this opened up, honestly, guys, like, who wouldn't apply for it?
Exactly.
Right. Like who, as a coach, like, who wouldn't want to be here?
Mm-hmm.
As far as like, and they can say what they want, you know, you can have coaches go, oh, I wouldn't want it. Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have kids that like really perform here. And for me, it was like, well, am I good enough to lead and captain a ship that, or really not, I mean, just, you know, am I good enough to do that? And I want to grow. And I think that's kind of like the thing too with Pine Creek is like, it's something I've never done. And I wanted to see what it was like in a the level that you guys bring it at.
Yeah.
You know, and that. So I think that's part of it. I think Miss Cormany was a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
When you just interview with people, sometimes you interview and you get a feeling like somebody. And then you know, you guys met our principal. I mean,
yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, like who wouldn't want to be around her?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And who you work for, guys, like the biggest message I can give you is who you work for matters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what the job is, right? And so for me, it's kind of getting back home. It was a little faster than I thought. I didn't think I'd get this fast, and I didn't think Pine Creek could open up that fast. And honestly, when I threw my name in, I was like, man, there's probably, I don't know, 100, over 100 and some applicants probably for this AD job,
mm-hmm.
right? Because people want it, you know. But I also wanted to come here and think to myself, go, how can I take it to the next level?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you take a programs that are already established even further? And that's always challenging to me, and I always enjoy that. Like, how, you know, I've built programs, I've turned programs around, I've done that first, but now like programs that are established, like how do we go next? And I think in my career, I'm like,
just keep building.
Yeah, like how do I make you guys even like, you know, to that next level of being seen?
Yeah.
And I think you're starting this now, you know, mm-hmm. with this. And so I love competing.
Yeah.
You know, and I like it. So and I think that that's part of it. I don't know if that's all of it, but that's part of it, you know.
Yeah.
So
So that concludes the podcast for today. Mr. Sure. Netherton, thank you so much.
Yeah, man.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming in and spending some time talking to us, having a conversation. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you all having me.
You're very busy, man, so I appreciate you giving us time.
Sometimes I'm busy. I hope I can get back on here and get some of that story with me playing against your coaches because I think I've only lost one time.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I have one more thing. Yeah. So I've been informed that there is a digital trophy case coming in.
Sure, yeah.
So can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so when we walk around here, we have all these, you guys do so much stuff. It's like little like numbers of down that athletic hallway of like whatever Hall of Fame, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Well, a digital trophy case, what it is you put all that information in a digital format. And now people can go by this screen that's going to be by the gym. We just ordered it, I believe. And you guys can go through each sport and find the history of that sport and records, and it's touchscreen. And so you can see pictures and what's kind of done, et cetera, et cetera. It's just taking not just to the next level, but we're following, you know, like, you know, just how, I guess, electronics are moving and social media, everything that's being so digital now, we're just following. And I thought it would be a good way to say, hey, we'll make it a clean area in there because there's some things that will happen to that area you guys will see later on that it's just instead of putting stickies up every year, it's now we can type it in and then people can have access to it as they come in. And I don't know if you've been into the Olympic Training Center, but they have these like kind of upscale digital trophy cases where you can go and see the history of things. It's kind of like that.
Okay.
So it's just I want to fancy the area and try to match like your all's energy and your all's accomplishments as much as I can. So
when it comes to the trophy case, is it more like when you look up, let's say I want to look at a wrestling, a trophy, you know, like back in the year, something like that. So is it just going to show a picture of the trophy? It's going to, like, have some information about it?
Yeah, so if you want a state championship, obviously, like, those trophies will stay. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll keep those. But the thought behind it is we collect so many trophies, is what you guys do. There's nowhere to put them, right? So what will happen is it will be more like informational where you'll read about a wrestler or you'll read about, you know, some, you know, track star and their records or Hall of Fame and who's in it. And their picture might come up or a team picture might come up of championship teams. And it's just another way to keep history in a digital format.
I like it. You know? Like that idea.
And so I don't know how many schools have that either.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll make that area more like clean and to the point is my vision. And then it would be more upgraded with when you walk by, go, what happened in, you know, baseball, what happened in girls basketball in this year, or what was the records and, you know, who was who. So
that's very awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that concludes it for today, man. Thank
you. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Yes, sir, man. Yeah.
All right. Y'all have a good one.
Yes, sir.